Right then, we've been talking shopping and it kind of links up here, really, because perhaps today you'll go to your local fishmongers, or if you're very lucky, you'll have a great butcher's and a greengrocer's, and you'll be thinking, what am I going to cook for dinner this evening? Last night I cooked. I did rather well last night. I thought I did a slow-cooked shoulder of lamb and I put in all the vegetables with it, and 4 or 5 hours later there was this lovely dish and everyone enjoyed it and great and drunk too much red wine and we had a really good family dinner. My daughter had come back. We hadn't seen her for a while from university. So we kind of made a real night of it, and I love doing all of that. I don't really want to cook again tonight because I did it last night, so I'm yet not sure what we're going to eat. We could end up with a takeaway or something. Well, the lady sitting opposite us might be able to help because she's a kitchen coach. She's Justin Cantor, a professionally trained cordon bleu chef who's decided to take those skills potentially into your kitchen. Anyway, she's here now in our radio studio. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks.
I think, like lots of people, I like cooking, and I do most of the cooking at home. My wife does it sometimes. And when it's a night like last night, and I've been kind of planning it, and I've got all the ingredients in, and I went really well, and my daughter loves making, she's a pastry chef.
Oh, wow.
She loves making cakes and puddings, and she did creme brulees last night with orange stuff in them, and all. It's really, really good. She got a blowtorch out and did all
Fantastic.
Of that. That's what she got for Christmas. And 7 nights a week, do you want to be doing that sort of stuff? Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Just knowing what to do on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the first thing is that there's never been such a massive appetite for food
yeah.
all around us. We know how important it is to eat healthily. Never have there been so many cookbooks in the bestseller lists. You can get apps to tell you how to cook the perfect steak. And we also know the importance of kind of locally sourced produce. But actually, there are still so many people out there who just don't feel very comfortable around cooking. And they just don't have much confidence in their own kitchen. So, yeah, they can put food on the table. They do. They feed their families. But they have got to kind of keep that energy, as you talk about. You know, it's fine to bung a shoulder of lamb in the oven. That's fantastic. And I cook that. And that's really, really easy, as it happens.
It is, yeah.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
But maintaining that momentum is hard. And so one of the things that I do is that I go into people's homes and I see them in situ, and they tell me about their lives, how busy they are, how much time they have or don't have to plan. There may be mixed eaters around the table, picky eaters, might be teenagers who show up, you know, at the last minute. You've got to make a meal stretch.
Yep.
That can be quite challenging. So it's there are a lot of challenges that people kind of face every day. And as you say, 7 days a week is a lot of cooking. And so I help them think about how they can be a bit more planful, a bit more efficient, use their freezer, how they can shop. You know, I don't know if you've done this, but you go to the supermarket or you go to your local shops and you just buy the same food every week.
Yeah, that's often the problem, isn't it? You end up with a sort of a repertoire of
Absolutely.
Half a dozen dishes and you find yourself repeating them ad nauseam.
And that repertoire very often isn't more than 5 or 10 dishes.
No.
And they just rotate. And then you're not encouraging kind of an excitement. It's great to hear about your daughter making creme brulee, but that's
yeah.
quite unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant.
She loves
my sons love cooking too, and that's to be celebrated. But I think very often, you know, it's trying to keep that imagination. So what I do is sort of, the word coach is about working with people to try and work out what are their traps and pitfalls that they always fall into and the things that they always kind of muck up on, and try and give them, it's about confidence really, it's just about people feeling a little bit happier in their own kitchens.
You mentioned all the cookbooks and I've got rows of them at
yeah.
home, but the problem I have with cookbooks, of course, is you pick it up at 5 o'clock in the evening, think, all right, what am I going to cook tonight? And then it says you need this lentils
yeah.
and you maybe should have soaked those for 24 hours.
Absolutely.
And you just think, well, oh, I'll close that and I'll go and cook
yeah.
a chilli again.
And then
then
you open the fridge and you stare with total disappointment.
Yeah,
it's
because
the same stuff staring, you know,
exactly.
looking back at you, and you could feel
so
like...
So is it about planning?
It is, I'm afraid it is about planning. But you don't have to have loads of time because, you know, most of us are very time
sure.
poor. But what I do is on a Sunday, I just carve out 20 minutes and I just look at my week and I see when I'm out and who's going to be in, roughly speaking. It often changes.
Yeah, because you don't know, do you?
You don't know. And I probably think of 3 or 4 meals that I'm going to cook. And I probably try 2 new ones. Maybe I've seen something on the telly. And maybe 2 old favourites. And I make sure that I buy them. However I do my shopping, I just make sure they're in there. Sometimes I have to abort and something, you know, goes awry and I don't cook
yeah.
them. But I don't tend to open the fridge at 5 p.m. and try and
I know, that
be
is
inspired.
The big mistake.
It's the worst thing to do.
It
absolutely.
Is. And we all do it.
We do. And then there's the store cupboard. You know, if you've got some good tins and, you know, I always have sausages.
Yeah.
And very often I don't just cook sausages.
So what would you do with sausages?
I would take the skin off and get the meat out, and then I'd just break it up in a pan with some lemon, some herbs, whatever herbs you've got, sage or thyme, a bit of cream, creme fraiche, and make a pasta sauce.
Right.
And that's just a bit of variety, and it's just more interesting for everybody around the table rather than having, you know, sausages and mash again.
And do you stick... I mean, I think, again, a lot of us will stick with potatoes, or maybe it's rice if it's that's what your family tends to have, or maybe it is pasta, and you find you've had pasta 4 days running.
Yeah,
and you think,
absolutely. But then if you do... couscous or lentils or any kind of pulse or in winter time.
So you scared me with couscous. I'm not good at couscous.
It's so easy. Just chuck it in a bowl with a bit of kettle water.
Really?
And fluff it out with a fork. If you want
it's
to put
dull.
Some olive...
That's the other thing, isn't it?
Well, it depends. If you've got chicken with a fantastic sauce, then it's brilliant.
Right.
Or you can add loads of spices and herbs. And one of the things, because you mentioned that I trained at Cordon Bleu, and one of the things that I picked up there were all these fantastic tips and tricks and that chefs use to make their food taste much better. And so what I also try and teach people is some of those things.
Give us a couple of examples.
Okay, so if you look at the potato, which we all cook.
I often
and probably
look at a potato, usually with a peeler in my
hand.
It.
The thing is, it's full of starch. So when you're cooking it, if you're boiling it for mash or parboiling for roast potatoes, if you boil it at a fearsome raw, you basically disturb all of those starch molecules. And then the potato is very elastic and like wallpaper paste.
Right.
If you get it to a boil and just simmer it very gently, until they're cooked, and then let them steam for at least 5 minutes when all the water evaporates, and then you parboil them or mash them, it's a completely different smooth.
Really?
It makes a massive difference. Also, if you make a baked potato, that makes the best mash because there's been no water involved and the potato doesn't get waterlogged.
Because often you make mashed potatoes
and
you
really
can just feel
disgusting.
It soggy.
Yeah,
basically.
Absolutely. Don't salt your roast potatoes before you cook them because the salt brings the moisture out of the potato, so only put the salt on at the end and it makes them much crispier. Eggs are interesting. Have you ever tried...
Eggs are interesting. There's a statement.
Have you ever hard-boiled an egg and not been able to get the shell off and it sticks and then
yeah,
it pulls
of course.
Off? Well, the reason is that fresh eggs, the skin is much, much tighter. So you're better off using your eggs when they're fresh for baking because they separate much more easily. But use a slightly older egg, 2-3 days
use
old.
Use your old eggs for
hard-boiling because then the skin comes off completely. And there's a little pocket of air in the egg at the top of the egg and it increases in volume as the egg gets older. So if you keep your eggs pointing downwards, you can slow down the aging process of the egg, and then it keeps the yolk sort of more plump and they last longer.
What do you do if in your family one of your teenage daughters has decided she's a vegetarian, somebody else is allergic to wheat, I don't know, or whatever, and everyone seems to be allergic to wheat at the moment, I'm afraid. How do you cope with all of that sort of stuff?
That's a big part of what I do. I very often come across people who have got a whole table of mixed eaters, and there's nothing more soul-destroying than a sort of restricted eater coming to the table. And they're nervous because they're worried that they're going to be made to eat something that they don't like. One great trick is to try and make a meal that's got component parts. So make fresh hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
But lay it all out,
you get some mints and do it.
Yeah,
like
get
that
some mints and you can put an egg or some breadcrumbs to bind it, loads of herbs, and make the burgers. Get one of the kids to fry them. Get the buns, the cheese, the lettuce, the onions, whatever. Everyone make their own, so that if you've got somebody that doesn't want the bun, or you've got somebody that's a bit fussy about anything that's got a vegetable in it, there's something about making, particularly with kids, getting them involved and making them sort of own the meal a bit more.
Except you don't want meals to turn into playtime. I've been with other people's families where it almost turns into like you expect a clown to pop up any minute.
Absolutely, but there is also something about putting a shepherd's pie in front of somebody and then the picky eater has to pick through and fish out the mushrooms because they don't like them. And that makes mealtimes quite stressful. So, I mean, when I work with people, I get to the bottom of exactly what the kind of constraints are and who's on a diet or who's kind of, fussy about certain things. And we just are creative together and I give them loads of ideas of things that they can make. So
what do you think about things like making your own pizza, making your own bread, that sort of stuff, which can kind of be fun?
I think it's within, you've got to work within, because you can't spend 2 hours making your own pizza dough when you've just got back from work and the kids got homework they need help with and stuff. But I see what I do is the night before, or even the morning before everybody goes off, I will definitely bung something into marinate, or I might even have got made the pizza dough the week before and put it in the freezer. Just take it out in the morning.
I wish I had that degree of forethought.
But you know what, it pays. It really, 20 minutes in the weekend pays to plan the week. And how long does it take to bung some chicken thighs in five ingredients of a marinade? And then it does taste much nicer that night and you don't have to think about it.
I'll tell you another issue I have with cooking, and it's kind of a little bit harking back to what we were talking about just a moment ago, but I like really spicy food. Mm. So if I'm going to make a curry or a chili or whatever, I want to make it spicy because it's a curry or a chili. It's not a stew. Yeah. It's meant to be like that. My wife doesn't like particularly spicy food. My son does. My daughter doesn't. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I never quite know whether there's a kind of a happy medium or I should try, or maybe try and use some spicy for some later or something.
I mean, I think I have that a little bit too. Sometimes I go to kind of extremes and make, I'll sweat the onions and I'll just split it in two. And actually it's the same ingredients. I haven't had to buy anything extra, just but I just dishes. Make two dishes. And
I've done that with sometimes.
It's a bit of a pain and you'd pain. Rather not do that.
And it's more washing up.
Or, exactly. Or the other thing you do is you just start edging. You know, I've taught somebody that there's one child that doesn't like anything spicy, but you can just generally push it. And so that you start with something that's a bit more, a bit mild. And then the others can have dried chili flakes on their dish at the end of the table. Sour cream, or, you know, there are ways in which you can kind of tone things down for the fussier eaters. So.
How much is it worth investing, provided you can afford to do so, in gadgetry and kitchen implements and all of this sort of stuff?
I think there's a load of rubbish out there.
Do people, you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have sort of favourites in my kitchen of stuff that I use, but very often...
went into someone's kitchen and you looked around and they said it was starting from afresh, what would you... Obviously, you need a cooker and you need...
Knives, I would say, are the most... You don't need loads of knives. You probably only need two or three good knives, but you must keep them sharp. Just buy a knife sharpener. Don't get a fancy one, which has got also... Just you need a knife steel, and I show people how to sharpen them. And now, you see this on TV with chefs in professional kitchens. You sharpen every... Butchers do it. They sharpen every time they start cooking. So I'd say a couple of really good knives and a couple of really good pans. And, you know, I have gadgets, but I don't get sucked into spending... You know, hundreds of pounds on the latest.
Because you can, can't you?
You really can, yeah. And then it's like cookbooks. It's like cookbooks that sit with their spines unbroken.
They all seem to take twice as long to clean as they do to use. That's the other factor as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I have got a kitchen full of these things because I quite like them.
Yeah.
But I don't know the last time I used the juicer.
No.
I really don't.
No, you just need one of those wooden handheld ones and that's job done. Yeah.
Absolutely. And where can people find out more, Justine, about what you do and kind of if they're interested?
Sorry.
Where can people find out
I'm
more?
So sorry, I didn't hear you. It's kitchencoach, www.kitchencoach.biz.
I think I need a bit of coaching this evening, to be honest. It's just approaching 10:30 here on The Robert Elmes Show. Thank you very, very much to Justine. We've still got a London weekend to come. We're going to find out about the sport from Pete. And we've got Mari Wilson coming in. But now, as it is approaching 10:30...